Good morning, brothers and sisters. We'd like to welcome you out to Fast and Testimony Meeting this morning here in the Heatherridge 6th Ward. Today, Bishop Mike Roberts is presiding, and he's asked that I, Tom Crabb, conduct this session today. And we have a few announcements to go through. Before that, if there's any visitors here, we'd certainly love to welcome you to our sacrament meeting today also. As far as announcements, we'd like you to refer to the printed handout for most of the announcements, but there's a couple things I wanted to highlight. One is there's choir practice today at 3:30 at the Hollins home. So we'd love to have any of those that would like to participate in the Ward Choir today at 3:30 at Dave and Shanna Hollins home. Also, this evening, there's the monthly devotional for the young adults 18 through 30 that's going to be broadcast. And so we'd like to remind them of that. And also for the youth 12 through 18, mark your calendars for June 3rd, so basically a month from now, there will be a worldwide devotional specifically for the youth ages 12 through 18 with messages from President Russell M. Nelson and his wife, Sister Wendy M. Nelson. So it'll be broadcast on the church satellite system, YouTube, and other places, and it'll be rebroadcast on BYU TV after that, I believe, at around 7, I would guess. So with that, we'll go ahead and start our meeting with an opening hymn, hymn number 107, Lord Accept Our True Devotion, and then Brother Jay Cranmer will offer the opening prayer.
Our kind and gracious eternal Father, we're indeed grateful, Father, to be gathered together on this beautiful spring day, to praise Thee in music, to partake of the sacrament, and to renew our covenants with Thee. We're grateful for a living prophet to guide and direct us this time, and we ask for Thy blessings upon President Nelson and all those that serve so diligently with him. Bless those individuals that will bear their testimonies this day, that they may truly bear testimony of Thee. We love Thee, Father, we love the Savior, and we offer this prayer and ask for these blessings with all other blessings of assist that we stand in need of. And we do so in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Cranmer. We have a couple of items of ward business. We have some releasings we'd like to talk to you about and let you know that Sister Tammy Hill has been released as visiting teaching coordinator. Joni Bennett, Stanya Brennan, Diane Butler, Kathy Housewright, Jean Wong, Nan Potter, Yoon Soon Ree, and Billy Rowley and Mary Lou Vertel have been released as visiting teaching supervisors. All those that could show thanks to those folks for their service in those capacities, do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you. And we've also had some new members move into the ward. If they're here, when we read their name, if they would please stand. Ryan Mulford and his wife Rebecca Mulford have moved in the ward. All those who can welcome these members into full fellowship in the Heatherridge 6th Ward, please do so with the uplifted hand. Thank you very much. We'd like to thank the priesthood for the reverent manner which they prepared and passed and administered the sacrament today, and also recognize Austin Beckstead as his first time. It's great to have him and his father and his brother up there all together. So as it's Fast and Testimony Meeting, I knew that I was conducting today, and I've been thinking about what I would say in my testimony, and there's been a lot of things going through my mind. We've had general conference, we've had state conference, a lot of other things that have caused me to reflect and think on various things. One of the things that happened also in the past couple months, I had the opportunity to renew my temple recommend, and usually hadn't thought about that a whole lot, but I ended up, of all things, it was a really bizarre time because I scheduled my stake interview, and I was the only stake interview that whole night. So quite a bit of time to spend with President Anderson and talk about it, but it's interesting how we just had kind of a discussion about your temple recommend interview and what that really means, and he gave me his interesting insight. He said that it's not a disqualifying interview. So it's really for you as the person being interviewed to assess your testimony, to assess your willingness to serve, to assess your willingness to attend the temple. It's really a self-assessment more than it is a disqualifying interview. So I thought about that in the context of your testimony and what types of things it's asking. And so, you know, do we truly have a belief that we are sons and daughters of a living Father in heaven? You know, do we truly believe that Russell M. Nelson is the prophet today on this earth? And I want you to know that I have a testimony that we are sons and daughters of a living Father in heaven, and that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And those are things that, you know, I've learned over time. I've had experiences that have affirmed those to me over time, had great leaders I've worked with. The one thing, we had a training this morning that kind of also caused me to think. We had the stake presidency had a training for us at Bishopric this morning, and one of the thoughts they threw out was this fresh faith. And you think about your testimony sometimes, and when did you acquire your testimony? Is it growing or is it kind of stagnant? That's what I was kind of thinking about with fresh faith. What are we doing in our lives day to day to have fresh faith or refresh our faith? And because President Evans was going through and talking about what he'd seen in the church news this week, what he heard President Holland talk about in BYU's graduation this past week, you know, and how diligent President Evans is on freshening or refreshing his faith, always studying, always listening. And he's been called as our stake president as an example to us of what we need to become, what we need to do. So that was another testimony builder that, you know, we have leaders around us to help us grow, to help us understand what we need to become, to set great examples for us. And I know that they're called of God, that Bishop Roberts is called as the bishop at the Heather Ridge 6th Ward, and that President Evans is called as president of the stake. And I have a strong testimony in both those. So I'd just like you all to know that I have a strong testimony of the gospel and strong testimony of service and how it helps us reaffirm our testimony and gain testimony as well. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And I'd like to turn the rest of the meeting over to you today to bear your testimonies. We'd like to wrap up at about 5 after the hour, and then we'll conclude the meeting. So the time is yours, and when you come up to bear your testimony, if you could give your name. Some of the people here may not know who everybody is, so if you'd give your name and then your testimony, we would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Carolyn Buhman. As this week has gone on and I've tried to study every day, you know, I know it's something that our prophet has asked us to do, and so I've tried to be more faithful about doing so, and it's been a blessing in my life. I feel that there's so much to learn that I just can't learn it all, and it's just hard because there's so much to learn, and there's so much depth in everything, and I know it's there, and I just can't find it because there's so much of it. But I do feel that every time I read, I can feel such a grateful heart for those who gave their life, their time, their energy, that we could have these scriptures. To the Lord who inspired them to do those things, that so in these latter days, we would have a way of helping us and the world, our families, that we could hopefully bring ourselves back to the Lord because he has taught us so well. I am grateful to have had the gospel in my life from the day I was born. My family came across the plains. And I'm very happy and proud of that. They were just such good people and tried so hard to do the right things. None of us are perfect, and I'm sure they never felt perfect, but I am so grateful for them accepting the gospel and my parents who tried to instill that within their children and my brothers and I. I am grateful for the opportunity to be at church this Sabbath day. As we were taught in conference, that this is one of the great gifts of the Sabbath day, is something that we should remember it and try and make it a better day for the Lord and the things that he has taught us. I am grateful for the many blessings that I have, especially for the Lord, my family, the opportunities to learn from the scriptures. And I say these things, especially for Jesus Christ and his great sacrifice in my and your behalf. It is something that I can't even fathom, but I am so grateful that he was willing to do this for you and I. And it is such a blessing in my life. And I say these things in Jesus Christ, amen.
My name is Jet Bigler, and I like to bear my testimony that I know Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father are real because I believe in miracles, and I know that families can be together forever, and I am thankful for repentance. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Wasn't sure if you guys were going to bear your testimony or not. I had to take this opportunity. I thought if Sister Buman could make this trek, so could I. We had the privilege of witnessing the birth of our seventh grandchild Friday night, and my daughter was 10 days overdue, and she was getting a little impatient, and I said, Aubrey, I think Heavenly Father's keeping him up there because he needs to give him some special training to be able to come into this world and survive. It's a tough place, and I really feel that that's true, that these children that are coming into the world right now are very strong, and they've been trained in heaven before they got here, and will be a great example to this world. I've had a whole new appreciation for enduring to the end, as I've watched my mother try to endure to the end. She is such a graceful woman, and she has adjusted to her new home over at Covington, sort of. She still talks about going home, and I wonder what home she's talking about. It's a hard thing to watch your parents age. But it's also been a blessing in our lives to be part of this part of her life. I'm so grateful for the gospel that teaches us the plan of salvation and that there is life after death and there's a purpose to every part of our lives, whatever stage we're in. She's trying to figure out what that purpose is right now. She doesn't remember a lot, but she is a very special woman, as many of you know, and I'm grateful for her example all of my life, teaching me the gospel and teaching me faith and endurance and service. She's been a great example of that. And I'm grateful for this ward. What a great ward we have. And great new bishop and bishopric. Bishop Roberts was our home teacher before he got called in to be the bishop. And what a blessing it has been to get to know him and Max. And we're going to miss Max when he goes on his mission. But we have so many great youth in this ward and so many great testimonies, and I'm grateful for that. Grateful for the friendships that we all have in our ward and for each of you. And I express my appreciation to all of you and for the service that you give and for the things that you've done for me and my family. I'm so grateful for this gospel, and I know that it's true. I love my Heavenly Father, and I'm so grateful for the sacrifice of the Savior that allows me to repent and to know that there's always hope. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I am Jeff Hill, and I want to testify that I have a fresh faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a faith in the divine callings that are given. Brother Holland is gracious enough to give me a ride to BYU every Thursday morning. We have a really good time on those trips, and I know that that he was called of God because no man would have called him to this position. But as he has so much to share and to joy, and I just love him a lot. I know that Bishop Roberts was called of God. What a great experience. I had the opportunity of serving with Bishop Misbach, who was called of God and thought that he never could be replaced. In fact, he kept not being released, and I thought he was going to be in for about 10 years or something, but I know that Bishop Roberts was called. Let me share with you why I have a fresh faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because I know, with recent experience, that God hears and answers prayers. I'll just share one or two of those experiences. Yesterday, Tammy and I went to Hamilton, the play, a beautiful play, and we were running a little bit late, and so I dropped off Tammy with my son and daughter-in-law so that they could get into the Eccles Theater on time, and I went to park the car. I saw an opening, so I just went right into the Hilton parking lot and parked the car, and we went to Hamilton. It was a great show, very moving show, especially at the end. Tammy had a commitment, so we needed to get out of there fast, so we went right to the Hilton parking garage, and there was no car. I went in, and nothing looked familiar in that parking garage. Nothing would jog my memory, and I just turned 65, and one of my fears is that these kinds of things would happen. We spent over an hour looking for our car in the Hilton garage. I went outside to retrace my steps, and I thought, the words came into my mind, did you think to pray? And I hadn't. And so I prayed, God, please help me find this car. And almost immediately, the thought came to me, we walked a lot farther to get to the garage than to get to the Eccles Theater. Then I looked up the street. There was another hotel, the Marriott Hotel. And I thought, could I have parked there? So we walked up the street, walked in, it was exactly there, walked right to the car. Immediately, that prayer was answered. And as I talked with Tammy about it, she said that at that time she had prayed and had the same impression and had actually sent my son up to the Marriott to look there. Simple thing, simple need. Oftentimes for our simple needs, God hears our prayers. I've had several experiences like that this week where I've prayed to be the answer to someone's prayers and had an impression, followed it, and the person said, you were an answer to my prayer. Tammy has done the same thing. I also have a testimony of the sealing power. 42 years ago yesterday, I was sealed to Juanita Ray for time and all eternity. I know that our relationship will endure through the eternities. I also know that, especially in the big things, God really cares about us. I know and have a testimony that he guided me to Tammy Snell Mulford, that our relationship has brought out the best in each of us. And frankly, Tammy has taught me things that Juanita never taught me, and I've taught her things that Mark never taught her. And we have been just a great team, and I know that God brought us together for that purpose. I know that Jesus lives, that he loves us, that he cares about us, that his relationship with us is not one of exclusion, but one of any way to bring us to him. And as he has already forgiven us, I feel impressed that some of us need to be better at forgiving ourselves. I have a testimony that God lives. I know with a surety that life continues after this life. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My name is Karen Mitchell, and I really appreciate Brother Hill's testimony because it's kind of some of the feelings I've been having that as I made the effort this week to ask more specific questions to Heavenly Father, that he's just so eager to answer and so eager to be in my life. And I think sometimes I forget that, and I just get into the day-to-day things in my life, and it's a beautiful thing to feel that love. And sorry, I'm gonna cry. But I know that as we draw near to God, that He is so happy to draw near to us and so happy to help us in our problems. And in just guiding us and helping us receive the fullest joy in our life. And I am grateful for the scriptures, that they've been a tool that God has used to answer my questions and to bring peace and to help me feel His love. And I know that He is there, and I know that He knows me and each one of us specifically, and He knows our situations in life, and He knows what we need. And I'm so grateful for that, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Grace Jacqueline. I want to bear my testimony that the church is true, and you can grow up to do good things and be good people. And I know that you can come to church to learn more. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. My name is CJ Jackman. I would like to bear my testimony because I know the church is true and that I can read the scriptures every night and day, and in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Reed Anderson. At the beginning of the meeting, I felt like I would be the first person, and then as the testimonies were given, I was thinking of all the reasons of why I don't need to. And Sister Merrill was right; they were going to bear their testimonies. What a beautiful spring day, isn't it? I was thinking, the seasons of the year come every year: spring, summer, autumn, winter, fall, winter. Depending upon where you are in the country, you have all of those. We're blessed with that. And I was thinking, well, how does that apply, or how it can apply to our lives in the gospel? And I was thinking, as our yard was overgrown and we hadn't taken care of it yet, and it was feeling like nature was taking back over, and I was thinking, sometimes I do that in my spiritual life. I don't take the time to water. I don't take the time to pull the weeds out of my spiritual life. And if I just take the time when they're little, it's really easy. And if I wait a long time, it's like yesterday where I spent hours cutting my yard's hair, cutting it down, making it bearable again, to now I can just take a little one and pull it out. And my hope and prayer for every one of us is that we'll take the time when those weeds are little in our spiritual trials to pluck them and move on in the gospel. And I do say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Heidi Waite, and I've been thinking a lot about Revelation and following the words of the prophet, especially with our new prophet. And I was very grateful that he reminded us that we can have personal revelation. Sometimes I forget that. We're just constantly follow the prophet, do what the prophet says. And I got thinking about, what is my heart? Do I have an open heart to the things that I'm supposed to be learning instead of just following it and just doing it like something that was memorized? And So I've had some really interesting things going on in my thoughts, and I am so grateful that we have tools that help us to learn the things that we need to learn before we return to our Father in heaven. I'm so thankful for the scriptures. I'm thankful for prayer. I don't do it as sincerely as I need to. That's one thing that I made a commitment to work at a little bit more. And I am so grateful for the testimonies of the primary children that bore them today, the Jackmans and little Jet. I love working in primary. It's where our gospel is the simplest. I'm learning that I can't change other people. I can only change myself. And so that's what I'm going to work on. I'm weeding. I like how Reed says, weed your garden. That was a great analogy. Get some of those weeds out, cut them down, and just love people for who they are and wherever, whatever level they are. That's what Jesus does for us, and I am so thankful for his atonement in my life and allowing me to repent over and over and over again for the same things that I do over and over and over again. And I'm so grateful for our leadership in this church and for the messages that they pass down from Heavenly Father to me. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Chris Beckstead, and I'd like to share my testimony, especially today, of family. There was an interesting article a month or two ago on the Ensign about the religion of Islam, and I was just fascinated about how many things were similar among the world's religions. But one of the things that was specifically cited as being different is a lack of belief in having heavenly parents, and that God is our Father, and that we have an eternal family with Him. That knowledge really helps us to appreciate our own families here on earth. And I'm so thankful to have a family, and I love them so much, and it adds meaning and color and satisfaction to life to be able to love them and live with them and have people that you can always know are going to be there, which can be much more enduring than any other friendships. My wife and I went to a couple of wedding receptions last night, and it's always nice and fun to see that spark that exists with newly married couples. But I like to testify that marriage can grow and enhance and become sweeter as time goes on. I love my wife so much and my kids, and thankful for them. I know that Jesus Christ is our older brother and that he can help us find peace in our life. And that peace is something we should always seek, and that we can give us calm even when things are not always going well around us. And I share this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. For those of you who do not know me, my name is McKay Swope, and I felt prompted to get up here today. This last week, my wife and I, my parents, we actually got the chance to go back and visit my mission in Mexico, Veracruz, Mexico. And it was such a great experience to see the people that I had grown to love. And it was awesome to see the light in their eyes. As we went over there, my parents and Aubrey, they mentioned how, you know, they're a lot of the people, they didn't have much. And I never really thought that through my mission, but I really, as I went back, that really hit me that the people, they didn't have a lot, but they just seemed so happy and so willing to serve. And I feel like as the week went by and as I've kind of reflected on our trip, I thought about, you know, I served others, I taught, I, you know, helped people move, I you know, did whatever. But I feel like I was served more than I was serving myself. And it was just such a great feeling to reflect on that and reflect on my mission. And it's been 3 years now, and my Spanish isn't near as good. But, you know, as it went on, 2-3 days there, my Spanish started to pick up again. And with that little bit of practice, it was a lot better, and I was able to communicate a lot better. And I reflected on, you know, the Spirit, because as we were there, I could feel the Spirit really strongly, and how the Spirit's the same way. If we're not, you know, striving to feel the Spirit every single day, and, you know, sometimes it can be hard, that we can actually not feel it as strong. And I, after the visit, I've just realized that I need to really recommit myself to feeling the Spirit every single day and every single moment. That was something that was so great on the mission. And I'm sure a lot of you have experienced that as well. I want to share an experience we had this last week. We went and visited a member that I taught, but she'd already been baptized. She'd been baptized about 4 months before I'd gotten into the area. And we visited their family, and we were just talking about, you know, all the great experiences that we had had together. And she actually ended up going on a mission after she'd been a member for about a year. And she was just talking and explaining how that all came about and why she wanted to go on a mission so bad. And as she was explaining it, you could just feel the Spirit, and it was actually like you could almost touch it. And even though she was speaking Spanish, I know that my wife, Aubrey, and my parents, they both felt the Spirit. Like, it was incredible. Before I had even explained to them what she was saying. And it was just such a great opportunity to feel that so strongly. And I know that it takes a lot of practice and effort and work to feel the Spirit at all times. And I really feel that that experience really helped me and strengthened my testimony. And I just wanted to share that with you, and share with you also that I know that this church is true. I know that we can have the answers to our prayers if we search diligently. And I share that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Dan Holdaway. I'd just like to share an experience that I had a month or so ago flying with the family. So about a year and a half ago, I started doing my training to get my pilot's license. So I figured that'd be a fun thing to do after I get done with law enforcement. So I started doing some flight training with a friend of mine. And there's a number of different things you do when you get your pilot's license. You start out very basic with just a private license, and that lets me fly VFR, which is visual flight rules, which means I have to be able to have visual clues or references that I can see outside. After visual flight rules, there's IFR, which is instrument flight rules. And once you do that, there's a number of trainings and steps you have to do and tests you have to pass off and certifications you have to get for that. And once you get that, then I can fly in the clouds. I can stay in the clouds because I'll have all my instruments. It'll tell me where I need to be and where I need to go and all that kind of stuff. So before you get your test before you get your private license, you have to have your VF. You have to do simulated or a certain amount of time with instrument training. So I had a little more than the minimum amount of instrument training. I had a couple. If you have 3 hours of instrument training, I had just over 3 hours, and had a number of night hours, which, depending if you're out here in the middle of nowhere, you don't have a whole lot of visual flight rules even at night, especially if the moon's not out. So I probably had 5 or 6 hours worth of flying with just instruments. And so once I got my pilot's license in March, I figured it'd be a great thing to take the kids up on the plane and we'll go fly a couple of our favorite camping routes. And so one of those would go up from Spanish Fork, up over Payson Canyon, down into Manti, down through Palisades State Park, over Yuba Lake, and back home. And I figured that's a nice hour-long flight, good beginner flight for the kids and everybody. So I plan all my route. I get my, I've got a little app on my phone that I can plan my route. I can put the navigation in there. It'll tell me where I need to go and the elevations I need to be at. And so we hop up, I get my app going, and we circle up, we get some altitude. And as you go up Payson Canyon, you've got the floor of the canyon where Payson Lakes are, that your floor is about 8,500 feet, is most of your floor in the valley in there. And then you've got mountains off on the left that are 10,800, and you've got a mountain off on the right that's about 11,800. And so I knew as I was coming up over this mountain that I've got a nice valley right here between the two of them. And so as we got going, I started looking at the clouds, and I've got some clouds, and I can see the valley right over into it, into that Ephraim Valley. And so I can see the clouds kind of up there, and I knew I had altitude. I was fine as far as the floor. I was fine as far as my distance off the sides, and my ceiling was acceptable for me. So off we went. We're now committed up into the canyon. As soon as we get over Payson Lakes, we're looking out. I said, hey, kids, here's Payson Lakes. There's this over here. The clouds drop. And so now I've got a choice to panic, or I can revert to my training that I had had. Because now once the clouds dropped on me, I had zero visual references outside of my windows. I knew I had mountains on my right. I knew I had mountains on my left. And I've got all my instruments, everything's up and going. I've got a GPS in my dash, in the plane. There's one on my phone. And my first inkling is, we should probably turn around. And I thought, you know, I don't know where these, you know, my references to these mountains. I know if I go straight, I've got it. And when you get flying over mountains, depending on how high you are, you get thermals, you get up drafts and down drafts, depending on what the winds are doing. And within seconds, you might drop 500 feet and really not even know it. You may not even feel that you've dropped because the clouds have just, you just move with the air. So I went back around. I've got to stick to my training. So I climb a little bit higher, so I knew that we could plan for if we have any sudden elevation drops, I can climb. So I end up climbing about 4,000 feet in the clouds. And so I'm just thinking, all right, we'll just fly above the clouds. I'll just get above them. When I looked out before in Spanish Fork, clouds weren't that high. We could fly above them, would be fine. So I'm trying to get above the clouds, and never got above the clouds. And so I still have nothing. Every once in a while, you get a little peek of something off to the side, but still nothing. And so the kids weren't super thrilled about that trip. And so Kian, if you know Kian and how pleasant he is, and when he wants something immediately, he then wanted to land. And in the middle of a mountain valley, there's no airports. There's no place to land. And so I knew if we kept going straight, we'd be able to get into Manti. And so I just kept on going straight, and I knew that at this point, I'm getting to the point where I'm coming out of this valley. I know I'm coming out of the mountains, and I've got to start descending into this valley. So we start descending. We're now close to 11,000 feet elevation, and the valley floor in Manti is somewhere around the range of 4,500, 5,000 feet elevation. So I've got to now descend 6,000 feet. So I start descending, and the clouds never leave, And so I'm looking at all my stuff. I've got my one over here. I've got one on the right. And at some point when we're flying here, we noticed that I'm just checking my instruments, and we're in about a 10-degree bank, and had no clue, so I've got to correct it. And now we feel like we're flying straight, even though we're at an angle. And so I know I've got to get straight. I've got to trust my instruments. Even though I feel like I'm flying straight, I'm not. So we straighten it, and that makes everybody sick, because now they think they're doing this, and now I move them like this. But really, now we're level and flat. So we start descending, and we get into the valley, and as I'm descending, you really kind of, we can go 500 feet above the ground is where we can fly in Class G airspace. And usually you don't want to stay, you know, much more, lower than 1,000 feet above the ground. As we start descending, we're about 700 feet above the ground before the clouds break. And so we get into the valley, and now here we're at into the valley, and I look back on this and I think, man, if I had panicked, the results could have been catastrophic. They could have been really bad. And in law enforcement, you learn, we do training all the time. We're always doing different training to kind of put ourselves into situations because we may not have time to think or rationalize about a decision that we've got to make or a position that we're in. So the best we can do is train for those experiences. We can train for those times. So that when we're caught flying blind, we know what to do. You know, I never understood the meaning of flying blind until you've been there. And that's a horrifying experience. But I think of the experiences I have going into people's homes, oftentimes I'm going into people's homes when they're at their worst. They don't call law enforcement because their son's graduating college or they had a baby or they're celebrating a momentous occasion in their life. They call because they're in their worst situation. They don't know what to do. And daily, almost, I think of, man, there's a plan. There's training set for this stuff. If you guys do these simple things, be nice to people. Read your scriptures. Go to church. Follow simple, basic commandments. And these problems, these pitfalls, may not happen at all, or they may be less of an impact, but at minimum, you'll have that training on knowing what to do. And so now as I teach my kids, I want to be able to teach them from the principles that I've learned, not only from my mistakes, but ways I've learned to do things better. And so, I guess in summary, you know, we have this app, we have this navigation, we have scriptures, we have prophets, we have leaders that can give us this guidance, this counsel, this direction, and the training that if we get caught in these situations, that the alternative is to panic or to revert to our training. We have this training. We're here in this training here today, right now. So that when we're out in the real world, when temptations or struggles or trials come upon us, we can have that choice to say, I got to go back to my training. I know how to handle this. I can do this. Or, crud, what do I do? And then we're on our own. And the results could be catastrophic. I have a tremendous faith in this gospel, brothers and sisters. I know that there is a plan for us, a plan that we can all have happiness. If we do those simple things, if we do what we've been asked to do, we can make it safely to that valley floor, to that next airport, so we can fly again. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We'd like to thank everyone who's shared their testimonies with us today and appreciate them. We'd also like to thank Brother Jackman and Sister Holland for the music today. And with that, we'll commence with the closing hymn, number 239, Choose the Right, and then Max Roberts will give us the benediction.
Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this wonderful sacrament meeting that we've been able to be a part of, and we're so grateful for our opportunity to partake of the sacrament and renew our covenants. And Father, as we go throughout the rest of our Fast Sunday, please help us to continue to feel the Spirit and welcome it into our hearts. And Father, please bless those who aren't with us, that they'll be able to make it here next time. And we love thee and say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.